Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. God is still good. He's still available. He's there for us. And tonight that I'd like to just bring a lady that God has been using. Her name is, she's an apostle, and I want to bring her before God in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come this night to bring Sister Esther before the throne of God, and we just want to give you the praise and give you the glory, and we love you and we adore you. And tonight that we just say we thank you for everything that you have done for us this day. You made it possible for us to have a radio station. You made it possible to have love, ye one for another. And we just ask you this night that you bless us and keep us. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hello, Apostle Esther. How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. And yourself, Dr. Hernandez?
I don't have no complaints. God is good. Amen.
But that's great. That's great.
Praise the living God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You got a subject you want to talk about tonight, and the line,
you're open.
Go right ahead.
All righty. Well, I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to share with his people in the land today and quicken our spirits to what time it is according to the Bible and what the Bible has already showed us and what we're going through. And so we've been doing a study in the book of Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, he told them, give us a mind to work. So in the study, you know, we are now in chapter 9 and 10. And what I do, I usually read it good, and then I make out some keys to use to live by what the word is saying and how we apply to our life now. See, everything that's in that Bible is written also that we can understand how it affects us and how we are living in that time. And so I looked at the picture and I studied the word when it said he rebuilt the walls in 52 days. And you know, if you think about 31 days and 21 added to it, that's 52 days. We're talking about a month and a little past, half of another month. And what made me think about us in this time, you know, it doesn't take long to do anything if you have Jesus helping you and if you have the wealth and the finances to build, you can build what you want in 52 days. So we're going to look at the outline as we continue in the book of Nehemiah. But before we do, we're going to just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we come in your presence for no other agenda but to lift you up and to praise you and to study. And we thank you for study, because when we study, we learn things that we may not have paid attention before. And when someone led out for us with keys, we remember those keys. And then we try to apply them to our daily life. And so tonight, we ask that each one that's listening, that they would get a key that they would remember, and they would walk with that key and use that key to open doors and shut doors. So I ask God to bless those that maybe can't get up or maybe can't do nothing but listen. And we ask that the Lord God to heal it all, will heal us all tonight. We pray for everyone on this line and that they receive the wealth of the wicked that's laid up for the just. And now, God, we ask you to just bless their ears to hear. And Nehemiah chapter 9, the first key I wrote was, it's time to confess your sins. And if we look at the book of Nehemiah, read it for yourself. During that time, the saints would come into the church, and they would spend up to almost 3 hours confessing their sins. Well, today, we don't want to confess our sins. We want to hide our sins. But if you want to be blessed, you have to confess your sins. And the second key was time for signs and wonders. Well, we already know that's where we are now, because that's what we're living in. Every time you turn on the news, you see all kinds of signs and wonders and what's going on, because this world, the way it's going, it can't be too much longer before Yahshua, our Savior, comes. The third key, Yah will provide. That's what he promised Nehemiah in Nehemiah 9 and 16. He said, your provisions, he's going to make the provisions for us. So all he requires of us is a mind to work. Let's go to work. And fourth key, Yah is a God of forgiveness. And if we can think about that tonight, when we confess our sin, and remember, he's a just God. We all have sinned and come short. And so when we confess that he forgives us, that he never even thinks about it anymore. Also, the fifth key I wrote was, Yah will turn you into the hands of the enemy. And this comes from disobedience in Nehemiah 9:28. And the sixth key, time to repent and do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 said. We all know that scripture says, if my people call by my name, would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then shall they hear from heaven. So we have to repent and stop doing what we're doing. Can't continue to do the same thing over and over and over. That's going to keep you. And the seventh key, it says time to rejoice. Rejoice means restoring. When you know something is being restored to you, you rejoice. Hallelujah. And the way to stay in a rejoicing spirit is worship and praise and songs that you got saved on when you first came to the Lord. When you think about his goodness and what he's already done for you, when you think about all the things that you've been through and you know that God brought you through, you can't do nothing but rejoice. And so we move over into Nehemiah chapter 10, and that's the one we taught today in our one-hour prayer here in Houston. We have that every Thursday. And the subject was the sealed saints. Seal. Just a time that you know that you know that God has sealed you. He has placed a seal upon your forehead. So the number one key, they were the people who agreed to follow leadership. And how they follow leadership? By obeying those who God put in leadership. Just like Moses. He put Moses in the leadership position the time that he was there. And the second key, they were separated from pagan people and were united to serve God. And pagan people are pagan worships. People that believe a lie than to believe the truth. Worship out of God. Believe in things that is not so. It's paganism. So we have to be separated from the pagan believers. And the third key, they chose to do the commandments of God. That's in Nehemiah 10:19. Whatever God commands us to do, we must do it. I love the one when he said, remember. The fourth key was remember to observe his holy Sabbath. I think about the Ten Commandments. And that one, that was the eighth one that said, remember. In other words, God knew it was going to come a time that the people want everybody to forget about those commandments, forget about the Sabbath. But he said, remember, and it was observe his holy Sabbath. That's the fourth key. The fifth key, they promised to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple. So when people have a problem blessing God with their first fruits or their tithes, then you can take them to the book of Nehemiah and see what they promised. They promised to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple. And the sixth key was tithes are important. And tithes is a tenth of everything you receive. And remember, it belongs to the Lord. So you get your blessings when you go beyond the tithes, when you make that sacrificial offering to the Lord. That's when you're going to see the windows of heaven open and pour out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. And the seventh key, they promised not to neglect the temple of God. And that's what we're doing tonight. Day and night, we own these phones, prayer lines, radio. Why? Because we don't want to neglect the temple of God. The temple of God is you, your temple. The word of God says, keep your temple pure and holy. Are you holy? The way you know that you are holy is you are consecrated and you wake up in the morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. You have a forgiving heart. When you do something wrong, you ask God to forgive you. When you hurt someone's feelings, you say, Father, I'm sorry. You tell that person you're sorry. And when you say the wrong word or ugly word, you have to repent. Hallelujah. And you have to know that God is a just God, and he answers prayers. So I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity. That is what I had to share tonight to the body of Christ. And I ask everyone to continue to pray for me. My name is Apostle Esther M. Lindbergh, and the church name is Jesus True Faith and Prayer Tabernacle, located here in Spring, Texas, 24505 Aldine Westfield Road, Unit 1209. Spring, Texas, 77373. My number is 281-221-4299. I want to thank God for Dr. Hunter and the opportunity to speak to all tonight. God bless.
Amen. But, all right. Well, I see you gave the keys. And you have a person online here with us. Do you have a statement or question you want to make tonight? I just opened up the line. Hello?
You say what now? I didn't hear you.
No, I'm talking to a person or somebody just called in. Okay, that's a number. But whoever this person, you got a word you want to say? Hello? Are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord and thank the Lord for this good word. I'm sorry, I was talking and I had my phone on mute. I'm sorry. But I just thank God for the word tonight and for the word for you faithful servants being there and for all the audience with a hearing ear and a heart that wants to pan after righteousness. I thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I took the notes, and you know I'm a note taker, and I got the four keys, the fifth key, Second Corinthians 9:14, and the way that God seals the saints. Hello.
Hello?
Too much noise in the background. But you made a, your statement was, and it says God seals the saints. Seals the saints. Is that now, tomorrow, next year, today, when? I can't handle this. Too much clicking and going on. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I said a prophet, apostle. I was making a statement. And you said God seals the saints. And I said, is the saints being sealed now, tomorrow, next year, or forever?
Yes. I didn't quite understand what you said.
Okay. My question was, the saints, you say, are being sealed. Are being sealed. So the question I asked was, are they sealed now, tomorrow, the next day, or forever?
Forever.
Okay, well, praise God. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Ma'am?
No, I wasn't
saying
hallelujah.
I just want to say you spent time and you brought the word in. I thank God for that. You exonerated on the word. I thank God for that. And I thank God for your ability to step out. I don't know, but I know a giant step was made tonight by your ministry. And I will say to you with love and kindness in my heart to you, we have to pray one for another because the enemy is going to continually attack us.
Yes.
And like I've learned from Reverend Love, the quieter, the more we can fight him. The quieter, the more we can fight him. The quieter, the more we can. Because Yeshua, because Jesus Christ lives within us, and he exercises royalness, and he works in our behalf, and he moves the enemy to another place called there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the one thing that I just say, I praise God. I ask that I thank God for many that desire to be on the radio station. I thank God for it. And I know it's some people don't want to be heard on the radio. Some people want to be on the cell phone. But don't they know that the cell phones are being opened up now? People can listen to what you're saying, what you're doing, if you don't have a code of your own self. So I pray that we come to a place called there. There we can meet there. Amen. So I'm going to ask you one more time, Apostle. Give us direction where your church is, what your ministry is doing, and everything. Somebody might want to take that.
Okay. Well, I'm located at 24505 Aldie Westfield Road at the Spring Trace Apartments. And I have a service on Thursday, 1 hour of power prayer. And we pray and intercede for all. And then on Sabbath, we have a service starts at 11 to 3 in the same building, and we have it in the conference room. And at this time, I'm also helping two other apostles plant a church in this community. And we just came out of a 3-day revival, and we're planning to go into another revival in September. And like I said, I'm always open to speak to anybody that called me, and I have a word from the Lord anytime, because I say, like the old people used to say, I cook fresh bread every day, so I get a word from the Lord every day, so my message is just on time. Amen?
Amen.
And my number is 281-221-4299. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I want to thank the Lord for your love. Teacher, love, you got anything you want to add to what has been said?
We do ask everyone to mute their phone when they are not speaking, because this here radio picks up even your breathing. It picks up. So you can't even imagine how much noise it makes when your phone is not muted. I speak and I mute. I speak and I mute. But I just want to give God all the glory at all times, because he's always worthy, worthy, worthy. As we know, Nehemiah showed God had a purpose for Nehemiah, and it follows on down to these here modern days. But we know that we are saved, those of us that are saved, and we know that God is the Holy Spirit. We lessen the Holy Spirit in a lot of ways. When we concentrate in the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. But when we don't realize how much power we've already received, like that great question you asked, are we going to be filled, or are we being filled, and for how long? You know, because we our sins and our trespasses have been forgiven. They were met when Jesus. Could you please mute your phone? Could you please mute your phone? when he nailed us on the, when Jesus said, it is finished, he didn't say it's going to be finished when you do this, this, and this. He meant it was finished. And that is what is confusing the world. That's why we have over 5,000 religions, because a lot of people, it seems like we speak with forky tongues, because some of us believe that we're saved forever, and some of us believe that God still got to come down off the cross, and some of us believe that all the laws still apply to us, and some of us believe that Jesus lives inside of us and the Holy Spirit is God himself leading us and guiding us into all A-L-L truth. So it becomes sort of confusing to the world. But those of us who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness know that we have been made righteous. We have been made the light that's set up on a hill. We have been translated. So the Holy Spirit, when we got born again and when we got saved, the Holy Spirit that came to make its abode in us, he is a leader. He is the guider into all truth. Yes, we need his direction. That's why we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Everybody has their calling and their purpose. But we must want to continue to lift up Christ. Because that's, you know, when he was lifted up, he nailed all our sins to. So he just wants you to receive it freely. He suffered, he long bled and died, but he freely wants you to receive, And we thank God for that. Yes, sir, brother, we thank God, because our healing was on that cross. Even though me and you might have a little affliction, or all of us might have an affliction, but the manifestation of it hasn't lessened any. That by his stripes we were healed. But even better than that, Psalms 103 and 123 says he heals all our diseases. He forgives us all our transgressions. Yes, hallelujah. I mean, that word all is so powerful. It is so magnificent. All of our diseases. Yes, some people say, oh, well, if you say you heal and yet you still got such and such wrong with you. Yes, because it is a process. Just like salvation was God came inside of me and I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of his dear son. But I then had to learn to do just like a brand new baby. I had to learn to eat, drink milk, I had to eat baby food. And then I had to learn how to crawl. I had to learn how to pull up on things. It's a process. Now, there are some people who have miraculous healings all at one time. There are some, like you say, there are some of us who have been raised from the dead. Yes. But then there's still, in all of those miracles, and salvation itself is the greatest miracle of all. There is no miracle greater than salvation. Even as Jesus said, even one being brought back from the dead is no greater. It's still not a greater miracle than salvation. Because you know why? Because salvation, you die. Except a grain of corn fall to the earth, it cannot bring forth life. And that's what it means. When you get saved, you die. You die in order to be saved. The old man, that old man inside of me, this outside of me, it stayed the same, even though I felt it, because the inside of me changed so miraculously. I felt that my hands looked new, and so did my feet too, but they didn't change.
You're bringing back the old school.
but we used to say, when we were kids, when me and you were kids, they sang that song. The old time saints used to sing that. And we, of course, didn't totally understand it. But now, on this side of the cross, we do understand that we have been privileged and highly privileged. Yes. So it's a process, yes. We are healed in spite of how you look, you feel, or you think, or what the doctor said. Even what the doctor said, you are healed. You know why? Because the Bible says that my word will stand forever, and it will not return to me void. Now, that chair you're sitting in, that floor you're standing on, That atmosphere you see around you, wherever, whoever you are now, that's all going to pass away. But God's word shall not return to him void. And he said that he has made us joint heirs with him. And we're seated in heavenly places with him. And by his stripes, them stripes they beat him on the back. We are healed. And according to Hebrews, faith is the substance of things
hoped for.
The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. What you can't see is more powerful than what you can see. And that's where the faith is. You've got to believe God's word above what you see, feel, or think, or what somebody else tells you. You got to say, I'm hanging on to God, because he was rich and he became poor, that I might be rich. That's what I'm hanging on to. I'm hanging on to the fact that I'm healed by his stripes. I'm hanging on to the fact that he was rich, and he became poor that I might become rich. And the word says he came that I might have life, and that more abundant. Now, life is not abundant. Life doesn't consist of many things, just things. Those are fine little tidbits or little pieces of cake. Those are fine. But what he has given us in the spiritual world is way more than any cars, mansions, and new shoes and new clothes and all those worldly things. Because all of that's going to turn to ashes. That too shall pass. But this thing we got in Christ, this is joy unspeakable. The word say, taste the Lord. And see that the Lord is good. Oh, glory. His word is good. His word is good. It is joy unspeakable. And you know what else he'd say, brother? He'd say the devils in hell can't pluck them out of his hand. All that the Father have given me, I shall in no wise lose any. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise be to his name.
Oh, praise. Yes, so God, and all the Old Testament people are just to show us, if God could lead Nehemiah, if God could lead Samson, even though Samson got hooked under the wings of Delilah and departed from the straight and narrow, God still loved him. God wants us to remember. We remember a lot of negative stuff, but God also wants us to remember. Though you fall down, though you sin, though you get, you are loved, because God is not a man that he should repent and be like us. He don't love you just because you was nice today. He loved you when you bad. When you done said some little slip-up curse words, when you done looked at somebody with a cross eye, he loves you. He just wants you to quickly repent. That's Amen. All we do now under the New Testament. Right. Quickly repent. Oh, Amen. Lord, forgive me. Oh, Amen. Lord, forgive me. Because we desire to please him. Because the Bible says, just like he is, let this mind be in Christ. Being you that was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery. Jesus didn't think it was robbery for him to say, when you've seen my Father, you've seen me. He didn't think that was robbery. He didn't say, if you knew my Father, you would know me. Woo! Glory. He didn't think that was being arrogant. He didn't think that was being... Oh, my God, Holy Ghost. Woo! But the Holy Ghost is too. And that's why we study. That's why we eat the Word. We eat the Word. And those of us, you whose eyesight has gotten dim and you can't read it like you used to, play it. Play it on the CD. Play it. And if you got a cell phone, all you got to do is download the Word. Download it. Listen to it night and day. When you're just walking around your house or just traveling in your car, wherever you go, listen to the Word. Believe me, the Holy Spirit in us, it soaks it up like a sponge, because when we pray in tongues, when we pray in our heavenly language, it's the Holy Spirit who's communicating to God. It's the Spirit in us that's talking to God. We might not understand the different languages, and I speak in a lot of different languages, a lot of them. I've been speaking in tongues so many, many, many years. Some of it I can tell that it seems like it's Chinese. Some of it sounds Arabic. Some of it sounds Greek. I can, but I still don't know. But I have interpreted tongues before, you know, when it's necessary. I have it in the midst of a meeting. I've interpreted. But but the Holy Ghost himself, when he speaks to God, he's making intercession for things we don't even know. Like my brother called me earlier, God has warned him that something is happening. You, Brother Hunter, that pierced my spirit. I believe it. And we need to be prepared, prayed up, Meditating on the word, understanding whose we are, because we are the sons of God, and whose we are the sons of the living God, and that no weapons form shall prosper. They will come. It didn't say they won't come, but they won't prosper.
They won't prosper.
That's
like
right.
The storm. Amen. The storm is going to come, but it's not going to stay. Oh,
amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, good God Almighty, all I can say is, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a teaching tonight from the apostle. What a teaching tonight from Sister Long. I call her teacher. I call her prophetess. I call her woman of God. I call all women of God.
Yeah, well, that's all we are. I mean, that's what we are, son. All of us are brothers and sisters and sons of God. We are the sons of God. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know, as the words say, this is 1 John, I'm quoting, when we shall see him, we shall be like him.
We shall be just like him. And you know what it says? We, that's inclusive, we shall be just like him.
Hallelujah.
We shall be just like him. We, inclusive, man and woman, boy and girl, shall be just like him. What do you mean, just like him? The hands in all glory to God, the hands that were printed on from Calvary, he can feel here's a print in my hand. Look at my head where the thrones. Look at my sign where they pierced me in the side. Look at my feet. All glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the more we just say it, the more we go before God, we just say, there's nobody like God. My God.
And to get old timing, can't nobody do me like the Lord. He's my friend. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. That's
old time. Amen. Yeah. But you know, I'm studying a book about E.W. Kenyon, and he said the wonderful name of Jesus. And I've been reading, and it says, use of the name. We got the right to use that name.
Yes.
It's inseparable. It's connected with salvation. The very name is filled with music and is a repentant soul. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I done got so off into the spirit, I'm just thanking God. Sister Esther, Apostle Esther, are you there?
I'm here. I'm just soaking it in. It's all wonderful. It's worthy to be praised, and I just love what I'm hearing tonight. I'm just in a real quiet spirit at this hour, but I am listening.
Amen. But I know sometimes, Sister Love and I, sometimes we get so excited, we get off on not a tangent, but we want to go to the next level. We're always stretching toward the next level. And that's what we're stretching toward the next level, like in your teaching in Nehemiah. Now, a lot of folks really don't know Nehemiah, who he was. What was he called to do? But like she said, it's always best to go do some research.
I know. And, you know, we all are just led by his spirit. And that's how he is with us. He shifts us. Sometimes we in a place where we don't even know. But sometimes we way up on that high mountain. And wherever you are, you just know that he's there with you. Hallelujah. And he's speaking to you. And sometimes he just wants us to listen, be quiet, especially we that are in leadership. And I'm saying we give out so much all day. And then sometimes he wants you to just listen and continue to soak it up and love everybody and listen to what everyone is saying. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just tell you, I'm just looking at that spirit, that building where you're located out there for 1960 in Olding, Westfield, and all I gotta do is come on 59, he's going that Beltway and get out there, and you're on the right hand on the side. I know where that church is because I saw that church when I was working with the Methodist church out there 25 years ago, and I'm saying, Look at God. Look at God.
He's able to do it. He's seated above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You got to have that faith.
May I show you something?
Sure.
In the book that I was reading, this book, and I took down these notes. There are great men born with a great name, like Caesar, King, great by achievements, like Obama, and great name, but a great name, a name that's above every name, was conferred upon him, because he inherited a great name. When he said in Psalm 22, when he saw it, in Psalm 24, when he said in Psalm 23, when he said in Psalm 103, when in Psalm 121, when he said in Psalm 121, when he said in 134, he inherited. And God said in Psalm 1, chapter 2, he said, I have conferred upon my son and put him on the holy place in Jerusalem. His name was conferred before the foundation world. I said, my. You think the devil can fight with that? Ain't no way he can fight with that. The devil can't fight with that. He gonna bamboozle you. He gonna threaten you. He gonna throw rocks at you. That's why you gotta keep your shield up. You gotta keep your helmet on. And we got to fight the good fight of faith. But you know, beloved, I thank God for y'all tonight. And I want you to know one thing. The love that God has given us tonight will never fail as long as we stay with God. And so tonight, Esther, will you close God in prayer?
Hold on. Praise the Lord. You can hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, because I had it on mute. Father, we come in your presence at this appointed time, and we want to thank you for what you've already done. As my sister in the Lord said, it is finished. And we come in asking you to give us a good night rest and let us hear what the Spirit is saying. And we ask for prayer for those that are in the hospital and those that don't know you. And we ask that you will save them tonight and heal, because you are the Lord God that healed thee. And we ask you to bless Dr. Hunter and his ministry and his family and all those that are listening. And we ask God to be here for us in every situation we go through. In the mighty name of Yahshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We pray you get rest. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to say as we were praying, God showed me, I saw the great wind come out. Look, it was coming out of heaven. The great wind is coming down on the church where you're going to be. And what God is going to do like never before. God was. See, sometimes I'm in the spirit and I see these things, and I say, Lord, he said, yes, it will come to pass. It's like in a bright, bright day as I'm seeing it. And God says he's pouring out his spirit right now upon all flesh. It's a continuation. But it seemed like it was a great wind just coming down on that church where you are, right there on that. Oh, boy, hallelujah. Ooh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
But wind, I don't know. Ma'am?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We believe it.
See, one day I want to give y'all a story about my walk with that blind man and how God used me at that gravesite. And I've already said, Lord, I'm willing to tell it. I'm willing to tell it again and again and again and again. It's not about him. It's about what God did to me. To bring me to a good understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought at one time, I thought I knew too much. I was cocky. I had plenty of money, had good car, good clothes. But God said, no, no. He said, I got to let you see what's going on. And I tell folks, they say, huh? I say, yeah, that was me. Even though I was placed so innocent, but I knew I lift my head up all the time. Keep my head lifted up with pride. And I was a proudest person. I did it out of ignorance. But now that I know what Yeshua is doing, I told the devil, you ain't nothing but a snaggletooth liar.
Amen.
Somebody don't use that term now on the radio. Well, he is a snaggletooth liar. He can't do nothing. Cash and roar. He can't bite you. He can't scratch you. All he can do is scratch. He can do just roar.
I know.
He
just hates the body of Christ. He hates us all. He can't stand being out of presence. You know, I just laugh sometimes when I'm in the presence of people, and they just strike at us for no reason. Everything you say, and they attack you on every corner, and that's when I know that God is using me.
Hallelujah.
I don't get angry with those people because I know it's not them. I know it's Satan that lives inside of him. He just cannot stand to be in my presence. Amen.
He can't stand. He can't stand it.
And see,
I want y'all to pray with me, pray for me, because I've been invited back to go down to Texas City.
Uh-huh.
And God is doing a great work down there, and the lady asked me to come back again. And I said, Lord, and I'm going back. I'm going back Sunday. I'm going to do it because God has called me to build a body up down there. To build the body up. And I'm going to help build the body up. When I'm through, I'm going to move on.
That's what we have
Amen.
To do. You have to
I'm going
to
move on.
He's not going to put no more on you than you can handle. That's for sure. And I love it when he does it because he's teaching us how to rest in him and not to take on more on your plate than you can eat.
Amen.
And I love that because he balanced you that way.
Yes,
amen.
He
don't want us to burn ourselves out, especially in this last hour because he's about to return. And many saints, they've been running so fast and running, they're not here to get the last day harvest.
Amen.
They're clocking out. So I'm very careful on what I do because I want to be here for the end time harvest. Amen.
Me too.
I looked at the book of Acts and went to the 19th chapter, verse 1, and as Paul was passing through the upper court, he raised a question. Have you received since you believed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And And he asked those men, they said, we ain't even heard.
Yeah.
We ain't even heard what you're talking about.
I know.
Come on, break it down to us, Paul. Paul said now, and he began to tell them about the more excellency. But we have to, let me stop right there. Paul's right there. Let's go all the way back up to the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to find a person and a man and a woman named Priscilla and Aquila. And Aquila.
Yeah.
Y'all know about those two, right? And they were excellent in the word. And they brought this man closer.
Mm-hmm.
Aquila. They brought Apollos closer. Now, Apollos was a great name in Greek. But here God has used the apostle. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I'm getting all excited again. That's all right, Lord. I love you. But the more you look at it, the more you look at it, and we put it in today's life, and I always try to reduce it to today's life. Ask the question, have you received since you believe?
Yes.
Amen.
Have you received since you believe?
Amen.
Now, what you talking about, huh? What is it? Have you received?
Right. And John, St. John 4:12 say, as many as received him, to them he gave power. And that's
power.
So that both of those scriptures go together. Have you received since you believe? Because it's a lot of people. This is why the Bible tells us, beware of false prophets and beware, because in the last days, many, many fall, because a lot of people don't even know if there is such a thing as salvation. They preach about Jesus, they talk about Jesus, and yet at the same time, they're telling people not to really believe in Jesus. I listen to a lot of Christian radio, and you'd be surprised how much no belief is going on the Christian radio.
Amen. Now, you know, if I give y'all statistics, in the Bible, the name C-O-M-E is mentioned over 1,000 times. The name Lord is mentioned over 130 sometimes. Now, I don't have to put that. It's from the input in my heart. And I will say, oh, come all of ye unto the Lord. Bring me all of your burdens upon me. Cast them upon me. And in the Old Testament, we're going to find. Well, I said that to say this. When we bring a word and people say, like sister, like y'all have done tonight, y'all have put the word in royal diadem. And you will put it out there, and you put it where they can see it, where they can hear it. It's up to them. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say, on this radio program tonight, nobody, but the truth flowed. The truth, the T-R-U-T-H was told. The T-R-U-T-H was expounded upon. The T-R-U-T-H, and that's what God's looking for. And like I was telling somebody, tell me, Lord Jesus, and I was saying, when you read the book, and in Genesis chapter 1, and the woman bit the fruit and saw that it was good and pleasant, well, there's a mistake to be made. That was good. With God, all things are good. But there was an unpleasant part of that tree. And that's where the devil dwells at.
Right.
He dwells behind darkness. He dwells behind the liar.
That's it.
No. God told the man Adam. But the woman was there when it was told. So the devil attacked her in her weakness. Did God see? He always put it in a positive personified. Did not God say to you, Eve? Did not God say to you that you're gonna be his most powerful? God didn't say that. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm gonna leave that alone for the present time. Praise God.
God knows.
Amen. Well, the Lord bless y'all and keep y'all until we meet again. And so, now, if you want to be on at 9 o'clock, you want to be at 7 o'clock, or 8 o'clock is okay with you. I need to know, but I put you on so you can be relaxed. You can say what you have to say, and you did it. And I love you for it.
Amen.
Amen.
I said 9 because I thought that's what you said, but I would prefer earlier than 9 if it's possible.
Okay, what time would you like?
How about 7?
Okay, I will make it possible.
Okay.
I will do everything I can. I'll look at the calendar and I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay. What it is,
all right.
I usually go to sleep early. Okay. But that would be good. I'll probably be a little more alive because normally you know how your body takes to you on the time you go to sleep, right? So I'm normally going to bed by 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you would be better for me. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, Lord bless you and keep you. And peace of God be upon you.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Love y'all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's open our Bibles again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will read from verse 1 in talking about the gifts of the Spirit, studying the gifts of the Spirit. Today, we're going to discuss some of the mechanics of these gifts, what they actually are according to the Word, and the operations of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, before we move into these gifts, I want to make one notation here from verse 2. Let's notice something he said. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, are idols that cannot speak. Idols are worshiping things that have not the ability to speak or to minister to the people that worship it. Now, do you realize what category we automatically put the Holy Spirit in when we begin to say that these gifts are not for us today? We place him in the same category with the same dumb idols. The same idols that have not the ability to speak. If we are going to put the Holy Spirit in a category where these things are not for us today, then we placed him in the same place of the dead dumb idols that the Apostle Paul said that these heathen people would worship. I don't believe we ought to do that, do you? I cannot bring myself to a place of placing the Holy Spirit in my consciousness in that kind of a place. I can't do it if I listen to Jesus, because he said when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll lead and guide you into all the truth, and whatsoever he hears, that shall he also speak. Praise God. So we're not worshiping a God that doesn't know how to communicate. We're not worshiping a God that has not the ability to communicate. We're not worshiping a God that, for some reason or other, has ceased to speak to his people. You know what actually happened? We stopped listening. Now, that's the problem. He's been speaking all the time. We stopped listening. There's no problem with the transmitter. It was the receiver that was out of tune. Now, if you go out here and get in your car, turn on your radio, and you don't get anything on the radio, do you run in and call the radio station and tell them, say, your station's not putting out? No, of course not. What's the first thing you do? First thing you do is tune the receiver. You know the station is putting out. The receiver is the one that's off. Well, that's the way we've been. Now then, let's dig into these gifts here a little bit. Starting with verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So we are going to be talking in some cases here about men speaking by the Spirit of God. Now there are, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. The gifts are different. They're not all the same. There are times that they will work together. There are even times when they will work and be ministered all overlapping one another in the same motion. For instance, you can have the gift of faith, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, for instance. That thing can work all to a point where it looks like one ministration, one operation. You say, well, how in the world could that happen? All right, I'll tell you. The gift of faith began to manifest itself in the person that's delivering this thing and empty him of doubt right there on the spot. And just as that began to move, the gift of faith receiving the miracle of the Lord and the discerning of spirits go into operation, and the man right then discern the presence of an evil spirit operating in the person he's thinking that God's calling him to minister to. And then God, by the Holy Ghost, would speak on the inside of him and say, that spirit has been driving him to do such and such. That'd be a word of knowledge. And then God say, I want that spirit cast out because I'm calling this man into a work of my ministry. That'd be a word of wisdom. You see that? All working at one time, at one shot. And you just mind God and do what he said to do and begin to minister. The man getting delivered, called, and everything else. All one motion, you see. But there's several gifts of the spirit operating at one time. Now, God may have something to say to the man after the deliverance is wrought and manifest in his life. There may be a word of prophecy come forth for that man. Why, you see, and while you got your hands on him when the evil spirit left, God may manifest the gifts of healing and heal his body from whatever that evil spirit was operating. Well, for us to come along then, you see, and take our little yardstick and divide these things up and say, well, now that couldn't happen because this and all. Why, that goes to getting foolish. Praise the Lord. These things are operating in order to make men free. And when we learn that there are different gifts, they are different. They're different in their nature. They're different in their operation. Actually, there are three different categories of gifts here. They're divided up into three different categories. There's three of them in each category. One of them's power. There's three of them here that are power gifts. They display power. There are three of them that are revelation gifts. They reveal. And three of them are utterance gifts. They're spoken with the mouth. They come forth through the mouth. So you see, there are differences of gifts. But now that's not all there's differences in. There are differences in administrations. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations. Now, what he's talking about here is simply this. The gifts are different. The ministries are different. And the operations are different. We just talked about the differences in the gifts themselves. Let's talk about the difference of ministries. These gifts operate predominantly in people called into what we labeled as the fivefold ministry. They're ministering tools. They operate predominantly in men that God has called into his ministry. Now, they don't operate entirely there. They're, that what you and I label as the laity, there's a lot of laymen that the gifts of the Spirit will manifest themselves through. There are men that are not called as apostles or prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, but they are called to the working of miracles. There are some men that are set in the church as such. And you'll find as you study the lives of different ministries and so forth, that there may be a ministry of helps, like a man in the deaconry of a church, or a man that's an elder in a church. Well, now you know good and well that the elders operate in the gifts of healings quite a bit, because the Bible says if you're sick, any sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, so you can see faith going to operate in these men. But they do operate more predominantly. They are the tools of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher, because they are the things that God has put into his hands and into his life in order to do his job. Now, the Bible said that God gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfection of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. Well, now you can see that agrees right in the same line with what it says these gifts are for every man to profit withal. See, for the edifying. The Bible says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So these tools would operate predominantly in the life of a man called into an office of ministry. But now he said there's differences in administrations or differences in ministries. We can see that. You would know that a man called into the evangelistic office and a man called into the office of prophet would operate in a different manner. A man that's called into the office of evangelism predominantly is ministering to a different group of people than the man called into the office of prophet. Not that the prophet is not an evangelistic ministry. All of them are evangelistic in their nature. The whole body of Christ is evangelistic, but that office of evangelist, you'll find operating in his life and ministry more predominantly than anything else the power gives. Now you look at the life of Oral Roberts. The power gifts. What would that be? Gifts of healings, the gift of faith. See? Things that produce power. Things that express power. The working of miracles in the life of most evangelists, men that are actually evangelists. Now, there's a lot of guys going around calling themselves evangelists, not evangelists at all. They're, you know, a lot of fellas just run around one church to the next looking for a way to make a living off Christians. And that's not evangelism at all. And actually, most of those men don't have anything working in their lives. There may be some of them do some good, but actually don't. They just call themselves evangelists because that's the only thing they know how to call a man and not pastor in a church. Now, you know that situation exists, and so do I. And actually, some of these men are called to different ministries. But you see, most time, folks, if we don't get in line with what God has called us and go before God and find out what that calling is, and then begin to operate according to the New Testament by faith, then the gifts of the Spirit won't have the opportunity to operate at the kind of proficiency that God has called us to, because you'd be out of the will of God. There may be some manifestation of it, maybe enough to let you know that God's trying to use you in that way, but not to the proficiency that a man's called. Now, most men have had a hard time receiving a call and to a prophet's ministry, a call to an apostolic calling, or a call to anything other than pastor or evangelist or teacher. They won't even let you call yourself that. Most religious circles, you call yourself an apostle and everybody run off. Or call yourself a prophet and man, they won't take you out and hang you from the light post, you know, or something. I mean, it just seems like that's a dirty word. Look to me like men should be privileged to be called a prophet. Should be privileged to be called as an apostle. You know what that is? If we're going to stand up and call a man a prophet, then we're going to have to be obligated to what he says.
Now, you won't be obligated to what anybody said. After all, we're paying the guy to do our spiritual work for us. And we don't want him talking. I bet we'll cut off his salary. You know, and things like that. Most missionary cons, it's strange how we've been able to just put it in reverse of what God calls it. God put the apostolic calling right up on top of the list. We rubbed it out with our little imaginary eraser. Did away with it. And put the same calling down on the bottom of the list and called it missionary. Put him on the bottom. Sure don't want the fellow to ever have anything. All missionaries have got to be poor. Well, they're not really missionaries. All missionaries have got to be about half hungry. They got to be in love with some kind of a foreign nation nobody can understand. And they got to be a doctor along with it or something else, because well, the word of God's not enough in those foreign lands. Well, it sure isn't if you're just going to try to make Presbyterians out of Africans. It won't work. You get a Presbyterian that don't know any more about the word of God than any other Presbyterian. Unborn again men make lousy believers. You follow what I'm saying to you here? There's not any reason in the world why a man shouldn't have his needs met right in the darkest middle of Africa or the top of a mountain somewhere in the Himalayas as he does on Main Street, any country, any town in the United States. But you let some fella get on the foreign mission field and buy a new suit of clothes. Why cut off his support? After no verb living like that. God forgive us for some of that stuff, but we've done it, haven't we? And I was kind of amazed at what something A. Allen said, and thank God he said it. He said, you know, you folks send $1 million a year to Africa to minister to the black man, and I minister to him in the United States, and you put me down for it. He's right. He was right in saying it. Praise God. Now, I brought all that up to say this. The differences in ministries have some differences in the tools that they use because of the atmosphere that that ministry is called to. Now, you know the prophet in the Old Testament was called a seer. Now, the reason he is called that is because he could see things. He knew things. He knew things that would have to do with the future plans of God. He knew things that would have to do with certain things around them that would affect their lives and ministries. Well, now, you know, if you would see then that the prophet operating with in the atmosphere he's called operating, in the first place, the prophet is not called to operate out in the midst of the world. He's called to operate amongst the people of God. See? He's not out there functioning around all of the heathen world. That's where the evangelist is functioning primarily, you see. Thank God God's got somebody to function everywhere if we just let him put his men in their right roles. But the prophet, you see, is in there giving the people insight into the already established word of God. Now, the apostle, for instance, he is liable to go into a place where the word of God's never been heard before and establish the doctrines of Christ among the people, get them born again. Now, then, as this begins to move, you see, then God will raise up an evangelist right in the middle of those people, call him right out of those people, and he'll begin to move out from there and win people to the Lord and begin to preach the doctrines that the apostle of God came in and said, this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ said. And then God call a prophet in there and begin to minister to these people and begin to give them additional insight into the word of God that's already been brought forth. Man stood up here and preached, said this is the basic fundamental doctrines of Christ, and then the prophet come along behind him and said, now let's expound on these basic fundamentals of Christ. We'll show you some things that God's wanting to reveal to you people now because you've grown during this time. And here you have a pastor, see, that's operating here, and he is seeing to it that these things are carried out and operated in after these men are gone. Boy, it works. But each man, you see, is operating in a different atmosphere, a different set of conditions. Praise the Lord. So the prophet would naturally, you could understand that he's going to have most of these revelation gifts operating in his life. Now, we're going to see in these last days, in fact, we're seeing it more, men that are operating in more than one of these callings, and men that are operating, that have been promoted by God. I've been promoted by the Lord, and I've had one or two other ministries added to my ministry while I was in the ministry. In fact, this happened to the Apostle Paul. We talked about it already. He was operating as a prophet and a teacher. The Bible said so. But down at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers at that church fasting and praying in the 13th chapter of Acts, ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to." And the next reference that the New Testament has to Barnabas and Saul, it says the apostles Barnabas and Saul. So you see, thank God, God promoted those men, didn't he? What about the deacon, Philip? Here's a man called into the deaconship of the church. He got out there and began to preach the gospel and operate as a deacon. He waited table just like he's supposed to. And later on, the Bible said that they went down to the evangelist Philip's house and said it was the one that used to be the deacon. Glory to God. God promoted him from deacon to evangelist. Praise the Lord. Amen? Huh? Well, now, you know, he was operating in a certain amount of the power of gifts when he's operating as a deacon. He went down there and preached in Samaria, praise God, and there's all kinds of revival broke out down there. Well, you can see God calling the man into the office and going ahead and finishing him off and equipping him to operate in that office. Great miracles and signs and wonders were done in their midst. But then, not on the other hand, wonder how come when it comes to get folks filled with the Holy Ghost, when I come and set some other men down? He didn't know how. Did you know that there are more than 9 gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament? Now, these are 9 ministering gifts that are laid out here, and they are predominant, but we don't shut the Holy Ghost off at 9 gifts. Do you remember when Peter spoke to a man that had come up in one of Philip's meetings and offered money?
Yeah.
Peter said, "Your money perish with you." You remember this situation? Let's review here more what the man said. Some folks said he tried to buy the Holy Ghost. He didn't do any such thing. Sometimes.
on you.